Higher Human Performance, the podcast, episode 278. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at Higher Human Performance, the podcast. Find the show notes for today's episode over at higherhumanperformance.com. Just plug in the number 278. Take you right there. Links, show notes, a video or two. I even got some photographs over there to help you today. Let's entitle today's show, Improve Your Leadership by Turning the Knob. And we'll do it next. As always, the episode is brought to you by my company, Bula, B-U-L-A, Network LLC. Bula Network is a boutique executive coaching and consulting firm. Increasingly, a lot more of the former and a lot less of the latter, and that's by design. But, you're not here to listen to about that. You can go to the website, higherhumanperformance.com. You can click on the About tab. You can click on the Who I Work With. All kinds of ways to connect with me as well. F. Scott Fitzgerald was quoted in a 1936 Esquire article as saying, "The test of a first-rate intelligence is the ability to hold two opposed ideas in the mind at the same time and still retain the ability to function." First-rate leadership, I think, certainly demands the ability to see a variety of perspectives and viewpoints. And if today you're listening to this episode and you're thinking, yes, collaboration and consensus, those are very important, I might agree with you. Well, I do agree with you, but those don't have anything to do with the point of today's show. So just table both of those ideas. Table any thoughts about collaboration and consensus building for the moment, because right now, today, I'm going to focus on you, and I'm going to focus on your leadership. Not on collaboration, not on consensus building, as important as those may be. Your leadership can have a dramatic geometric shift with just a slight turn of the perspective knob. Sometimes you might have to turn the knob a little further. But doesn't matter. Either way, it requires willingness to make the adjustment so you can be more effective. And that's the point. That's the point of today's show. My podcasting studio, which has been around for 10 plus years, I've got some professional audio gear. And if you go over to the website, higherhumanperformance.com, again, plug in the number 278 in the search box for the website, which is right below the cover art for the podcast, over in the right-hand margin. And you'll see a photograph of some of my gear there. And this is important because professional audio gear is easily tweaked. And if you look at that photograph, you will just see an array of knobs. And it just looks like, it just looks like a daunting task to turn these knobs. And in some cases it can be, but it doesn't have to be. Now, some of these contraptions that you'll see in the photograph, they can be adjusted ever so slightly, and it can alter the sound pretty dramatically. Lots and lots of knobs and lots of turning that can happen, and a very slight adjustment can really make a big difference. That's what tweaking is all about. Tweaking is defined as to make small adjustments. Back in my old days of selling hi-fi gear, they would call us tweaks, hi-fi tweaks, because constantly fiddling, constantly just going for just an ever so slight edge in sound. Now, it doesn't mean that the smallness of the adjustment mirrors the size of the outcome. I can go to a piece of gear and I can turn a knob ever so slightly and it can make a huge difference. In fact, go to the website and look at that photograph And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a piece of gear, a couple of pieces of gear. They have a silver face, but at the very top, there's a piece of gear, and it's got a black face and black knobs. And over on the far right-hand side, you will see a knob, and you'll see, if you look closely, it's labeled fader. Fader. And if you look real closely at that knob, you will see that it is not quite all the way to a position labeled minus 10. It's somewhere between minus 20 and minus 10, and it's just north of minus 10. Now, if I were to turn that knob to the right just a little bit, so it would be dead center on the minus 10, changes the sound. And if you look at that photograph, you'll think to yourself, well, that's insane. That, I mean, you'd be moving that knob. I mean, you'd be moving that knob maybe a 16th of an inch. Yeah, that's exactly right. Hard to believe that such a small adjustment could make any kind of a difference, much less a big difference. Well, welcome to the world of tweaking. And your leadership is the same way. And we could apply this to a lot of facets of leadership, but today I really want to apply it to just one, and that is your need to make the best decisions possible. More specifically, your need to solve problems based on the best evidence possible. Turning knobs is necessary when something changes. So here in the podcast studio, if I use a different microphone, many of those knobs that you see in that photograph over at the website, well, they've got to be adjusted. Because putting a new microphone into the chain, it completely changes everything. Those knobs are all set up for this microphone, the microphone I'm speaking on. Things rarely can be nailed down and just left alone, because audio is just like leadership and decision-making or problem-solving. It doesn't happen in a vacuum. There are these variables. There are things that are constantly changing. There are things that are affecting change. Let's talk about three ways that knob turning will benefit your leadership. And that might have been a better title for today's show, but yeah. I've said before, I probably should spend way more time in headline writing than I do, but alas, I don't. Let's talk about three ways that knob turning will benefit your leadership. A, your willingness muscle. Did you know you had one of those? Well, you do. Your willingness muscle will be more flexible and agile. Leaders can become rigid in their thinking. They can become rigid in their approach, and it's very, very dangerous. The other day, I was doing some office work, and the movie Pearl Harbor came on. This was over the weekend. I've never seen this movie. Hard to believe, I know. Now, the world in 1945 was a very different world than the one we live in today in 2015. The inability for the U.S. to know where the Japanese fleet was and how far out those attacking planes might be, that put the U.S. fleet at Pearl Harbor in a really bad, vulnerable position. Not to mention the fact that the fleet was kind of all lined up just literally like sitting ducks. The strategy of the Japanese commanders, it succeeded in catching the Americans off guard. But that strategy would not work today. And I can give you two technological reasons: radar and satellite technology. What once worked in 1945 would not necessarily work again today. The foolishness of such a notion in warfare tactics, well, that just seems obvious to all of us, even people like me that have zero experience, zero know-how in such matters. But man alive, we can be blind to our own leadership foolishness in much the same way. Maybe the tactics or the strategies that we employed last year or even last quarter, maybe they worked magnificently. Well, that doesn't mean that they're going to keep on working. Leaders can fall in love with their ideas, with their tactics, and with their conclusions. More so if those things served them well. If they succeeded at any point in the past, we can really fall in love with them. And like most things that once worked, they work until they don't work. And the key to leadership and effective leadership is to abandon those things before they cause us too much harm, to abandon those things before they stop working, to not overstay our welcome with these things. But I'm urging you to embrace something even more progressive. I'm encouraging you to embrace something even more innovative, and that is the willingness to explore alternatives to what has worked in the past. The knobs are there. I mean, you may as well turn them and see what happens. I mean, just like this rack of audio gear that I have sitting right beside me that's pictured in the blog post over there, your leadership has lots of knobs, lots of options, lots of combinations. Those knobs are there. Why do these engineers put these knobs on this professional gear? Because sometimes they need to be turned. Sometimes there are these adjustments that need to be made. There are some things that engineers could say, well, we're just going to have some factory presets and we're going to build it. We're going to optimize it the way we think it needs to be. And that's that. And there are some people that are drawn to such things. The problem is you lose all that flexibility. It's very rigid. It's very one size fits all. Easy, easy on one hand. Not nearly as flexible, though, on the other. So the knobs are there, and they're there to be turned sometimes. Exploring improvement is a habit, just like failing to explore improvement is also a habit. Your leadership isn't benefited by locking and loading one path, so don't do it. After I go to the gym and work out, I will spend about 15 minutes, sometimes even longer, stretching. Now, I don't stretch before. I stretch afterwards. And I focus mainly on my hamstrings because I have always had really tight hamstrings. And tight hamstrings, for those of you that have them, you know it. And for those of you that don't, I'll tell you. Tight hamstrings can cause lower back pain because your hamstrings pull and, well, it stands to reason, as they pull, they can kind of pull on your lower back if you don't stretch them out or keep them stretched out. Now, I avoid that. I don't have lower back pain because I take the time to stretch my hamstrings out. And stretching those hamstrings keeps them flexible, and it helps me combat stiffness or back pain. That's a pretty small investment. 15 minutes, really? Yeah, 15 minutes or so. 15 minutes of time and effort, big payoff, big payoff. It's a knob that I'm even anxious to turn that knob so that I can improve. So I got some questions. What knobs are you afraid to turn? What knobs have you set and you've just forgotten about them? You thought, well, hey, I no need to tweak that. I turned the knob years ago. I'm not going to turn it ever again. But things change. B, another way that knob turning will benefit your leadership is your ability to get closer to the truth is enhanced by your ability to turn the knobs. And I would say your willingness to turn the knobs. In a future episode, I'm planning for it to be episode 280. So it's a couple of episodes away. I'm planning to do this in episode 280. I'm going to talk about evidence-based leadership. And turning the knobs on your leadership is mandatory if you want to practice evidence-based leadership. I mean, come on, after all, you're paid to solve problems. You're paid to make decisions. That's what leaders do. The better your evidence, the better your decisions. The better your evidence, the better your conclusions. Leaders who practice knee-jerk management, they ignore evidence. They don't care about evidence. And they're often disinterested in it because they know what they know. And nobody can tell them any different. That's poor leadership. Now, it's also foolish. No, that's not you. Instead, you want to be a leader who more often than not gets it right. And none of us are right all the time. But you do want to improve your rightness by leaning harder on the evidence before you decide, before you draw a conclusion, don't you? Well, I would hope so. I would suspect so. Otherwise, I don't know why you'd be listening to this podcast or any other podcast for that matter. Why would you even try to be learning anything? No, you want to be a leader who gets it right more often than not. And that means you need to lean harder on evidence, you need to turn some knobs. Have you ever made a decision before you even had to? Sure, we've all done that. You had time to gather more evidence, but your mind was already made up. So you thought, I already know what I want to do. I'm going to do it. Another day, another week might have been available. Didn't matter. You didn't see the need to delay. Now, your speed was not a competitive advantage. Quickness got nothing on you. You just still went for it. Maybe it was impatience. Maybe it was your closed mind. Maybe you thought you already had all the information necessary and you didn't think there was any new information that could be gathered in the next few days. So, hey, why put it off? I'm just going to go ahead and move forward because I know I'm right. You just couldn't resist holding off. You ever done that? Sure, we've all done that. Now, some people make a habit of doing that. That's a problem. It's another bad leadership habit that can be really difficult to break, especially if you don't get your hands on the knobs. Impatience during times when you could take more time is not a virtue. It's a curse, lending itself to foster increased knee-jerk management, and that just ain't a good thing. A few weeks ago, a senior executive was talking to me about millennials. Those 30-somethings in the workplace. And we were having this conversation, and we were wondering aloud what the future leadership adjustments might be required to handle teams that are mostly comprised of this generation, these people that were born, say, from 1980 to whenever. Well, I observed that as a baby boomer, I wasn't real sure if a broad brush could properly define me or my generation. And so I put forth in the conversation that I was pretty equally convinced. I am equally convinced that it's likely impossible to do that with Generation Y or these millennials. I mean, because people are people. People are individuals. And while we may fit various categories, like me as a baby boomer, it doesn't mean that those categories accurately depict us. I break a lot of molds for my generation as a baby boomer. Born in 1957, I'm tech savvy, so much so that my millennial kids, they rely on me for tech support. I know more about web technology, new media, social media, and all the rest of that than both my kids put together. I also break the mold in the stereotypical materialistic view of life that's held by a lot of my contemporaries, baby boomers. I mean, my generation as a generation was very interested in getting ahead, very interested in making money. Well, I'm not immune from that, but I am far more interested and always have been, even from the time that I was a kid, in getting something done. I've always been way more accomplishment driven than money driven, and way more driven to just make a difference. Now, I freely acknowledge the facets of being a baby boomer that have likely influenced me. I mean, how could they not? But in a lot of ways, I can more easily identify with millennials and with some other generations that are bent more towards service and living with purpose. So as we're having this conversation, this senior executive, he remarked about a millennial employee who had made a faux pas in a meeting. Well, I was quite curious what this must be, and turns out the millennial had said something sucked, quote unquote, in this meeting. And this senior leader thought it was inappropriate. And I asked, well, when did this happen? A few years ago. Well, did you talk with him about it? No, but I haven't forgotten it. And I thought to myself, man alive, turn that knob already, dude. Now, I didn't say anything. I just listened, taking in the information, formulating a strategy, because you know why? Well, I'm committed to turning my own knobs. I'm committed to turning my own knobs because I knew in that moment I didn't have to decide anything right there in that moment. I didn't have to make this a specific coaching moment right now. I was in fact-finding mode. I was gathering more evidence so that I could think this thing through and I could help this leader improve his own leadership. First, I had to make sure that I was handling up on my own leadership. So I had the hands on my own knobs. At some point, I'm going to be able to discuss this very issue with this leader, and I'll remind him of our discussion and how he's pegged this millennial employee forevermore based on a poor choice of wording in a meeting. And by the way, this meeting, I did find out, this meeting was an internal meeting amongst teammates. There weren't any outside customers. There were no external people in this meeting. The senior leader, he even acknowledged to me that he was fairly sure that nobody else in the room had a problem with what this millennial said, but he did. And I could just sense by the way that he told it, that there was some judgment also being made on his part about the other people in the room, because he alone kind of felt like not right. Not completely unprofessional, uncouth. Well, in that moment, and even later on, he didn't turn any knobs. He didn't turn the knob to ask the question, does this millennial employee even know what he said and that he should choose his words more carefully? And what about the knob that has him feeling a specific way now about this employee, this millennial employee, that may not even properly characterize that employee? What if he's got this employee pegged all wrong? Now, I'm not saying that the employee, what he said was proper. That's not the point. The point is, I'm not sure I can draw any conclusions from it without more evidence. That's the point. The willingness and the openness to get more evidence is the knob turning that'll better serve this senior executive. And right now, he's not developed the habit of twisting and tweaking the knobs necessary to bring about a clearer sound. That's where I come in. I'm there to help him learn how to better do that so he can become more effective, so he can become an evidence-based leadership. So that's the second benefit. Your ability to get closer to the truth is enhanced by your ability to turn the knobs. C, your ability to foster innovation, creativity, and all the best possible solutions is enhanced when your team knows you're willing to turn the knobs. Employees know if the boss is open to ideas. They know if you're open to ideas. Your employees know what they can say to you. They know what they'd better refrain from saying to you. You don't likely think of yourself as a person who fosters yes men, but you might be exactly that kind of a leader. Every team knows the boss well enough to know how receptive the boss is to anything. They may not all manage it well, but they know, just like as kids, we know what mom and dad want. We know what mom and dad are likely to say yes to and what they're likely to say no to. Your employees are no different. I sit in a large conference room. It's filled with executives, and the head of the table is a divisional big boss. And like many leaders, he is strong-willed and he's opinionated. No shock there. After he presents a problem at the beginning of the meeting to the group, he quickly chimes in with his thoughts, his opinions, and he goes on to tell the team what he doesn't want to hear, what he doesn't want to see as in the way of a solution. And I look around the room and I'm thinking to myself, if air were visible, if air had a color, you'd have seen it all rush right out the room, right out from under the door. A collective switch just seemed to be flipped by all the people who were seated at the table. They all, to a man and to a woman, they all flipped their brains into the off position. Okay, maybe not entirely. They flipped their brain into the off position on what they may have thought was the best solution. And instead, you could just see it. You could absolutely just see it. You could see the wheels appeared to be turning to see if they could find a solution that would fit the constraints of what the boss had just told them. Because he's already just told them what he wants, what he doesn't want in the way of a solution. And so now you can see that they're trying to fit that. He didn't turn a knob. Instead, he opted to make sure his team knew every knob is firmly fixed. There's no room for tweaking these knobs. And guess what? His employees, they responded in kind. Now, here's the oddity of the whole thing. Privately, he laments how his team isn't as creative as he'd like. He wants them to be more creative. There's not enough innovation, he says. He hadn't figured out why. By turning the knob on holding his opinions in such settings as this meeting, by holding those opinions to himself, if he would just grab a hold of that knob and turn it, he could foster more creativity. He could foster more innovation. If he just turned the knob that would allow him to speak last instead of first when it comes to stating his initial opinion, if he just let the room go around and have this conversation and just kind of sit back without kind of poisoning the well up front, he might find his mind would be more open and he'd certainly foster greater dialogue among his team. How big of a turn of a knob is that? It doesn't seem like much of a turn, really, does it? Doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, but it's not a big, big turn of a knob. I mean, there are inherent benefits of being a knob turner. People know that you're willing to make adjustments. They know you're open-minded. That alone can serve to make you more effective as a leader because it'll foster more ideas, better ideas, and a variety of diverse opinions, some that you may not have even thought about. D, your willingness and ability to turn knobs demands you learn to be a more effective communicator. Now, this may be a chicken versus egg kind of a quandary. I'm really not sure. I'm not sure which comes first, the ability to properly communicate or the ability to turn the knobs. I do know that one can't be had without the other. They hinge on each other. Repeatedly, I have seen people who worked hard to turn knobs more effectively, and I have seen them enhance their communication skills. I gotta tell you, I have not seen it work the other way around. I have not seen improved communication necessarily make a person better at turning knobs, and I think I know why. If you're going to embrace knob turning, you've got to communicate. I mean, any respectable knob turner leader has learned to ask questions. Knob turning necessarily means that you refrain from jumping to conclusions, even if they're the right conclusions. You remember that movie Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid? 1969, a classic, Paul Newman and Robert Redford. And there's that great scene as they're running away from this posse that just is relentless in pursuing them. And there's that great scene where they're at the top of this cliff. You only jump when you have to jump.
Ready?
No, we'll jump.
Like hell we will.
No, it'll be okay. If the water's deep enough, we don't get squished to death. They'll never follow us.
How do you know?
Would you make a jump like that and you didn't have to?
I have to, and I'm not gonna.
Well, we got to, otherwise we're dead. They're just going to have to go back down the same way they come. Come on.
Just one clear shot. That's all I want.
Come on. We got to.
Stop. Get away from me.
Why?
I want to fight them.
They'll kill us.
Maybe.
You want to die?
Do you?
All right. I'll jump first.
Nope.
Then you jump first.
No, I said.
What's the matter with you?
I can't swim.
Why, are you crazy? The fall will probably kill you.
Oh, shit!
I got to, and I'm still not going to. No, you don't want to jump to conclusions. We all know that false assumptions are killers, but still some leaders continue to make them. We assume the young person in the meeting knows not to use the word suck in a meeting. But what if he's not thinking anything of it? What if he doesn't even remember saying it? And what if we corrected him with a conversation and he never did it again? These things require communication. They require being willing to engage in candid conversations so we all improve our understanding. How fair would it be? Are you a parent? How fair would it be for a parent of an elementary, let's pick on an age group, elementary age kids. How fair would it be for a parent of an elementary age kid to judge that kid based on all the stupid things that kid says? I've had elementary age kids. I've got elementary age grandkids, and I tell you, it'd be grossly unfair. No, parents and grandparents, we correct children when they say and they do improper things. It doesn't mean that they're rebellious, and it doesn't mean that they're stupid. They just don't know what they don't know until we teach them. We shouldn't tolerate their rebellion, but we do tolerate their ignorance or inexperience. And we handle it by talking with them and by explaining things to them. We ask them questions. We answer their questions. Those same techniques are required by every leader who would become more accomplished at turning knobs to become a great leader. So what's the conclusion of all this? You need rigidity in one area of your leadership, and that is non-negotiable standards. That's it. That is it. You should be inflexible in your expecting good behavior and good performance. Minimum standards have got to be held sacred, non-negotiable standards. But, this is a big but, flexibility should characterize the rest. Even in non-negotiable standards, it's wise to exercise caution in drawing a conclusion. For example, a leader can complain about a person lying. Well, that's a violation of a non-negotiable standard. Lying. We don't tolerate lying. And okay, that's all good and well, and I agree with it. But on further investigation and conversation, turns out the person wasn't lying at all. He merely didn't know what he didn't know. He made a statement based on his limited knowledge of the facts, and it sounded like lying, but it wasn't. And when he was more fully informed, it changed everything. He acknowledged that, as he put it, he just didn't know. Okay, question. Now, with that evidence, is he a liar or is he uninformed? Being uninformed wasn't a non-negotiable standard for this company. Lying was. Yeah, he wasn't lying. He was uninformed. That's knob turning in action. Give yourself the opportunity for bigger, clearer sound. Turn some knobs. See if you can't gain some insight with just a slight adjustment. Shoot, make a full quarter turn if you want to, because you can always turn it back. That's the beauty of knobs. You can twist and tweak. And you may find that you'll be able to create a leadership that is monumentally better than anything you've ever created before. You just hadn't had your hand on the knobs. Visit the website, higherhumanperformance.com. I'd love it if you would leave me a review over at iTunes. I never ask for these things because I just always forget. I've got 10 or so. I've been podcasting a long time. Now, here's the great thing. I regularly hear from listeners, and give me the option of regularly hearing from listeners and being able to email back and forth with listeners or getting reviews. Yeah, I'll take the emails all day. So there's that. But yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice to get a few recommendations. It'd be nice to have a few 5-star reviews out there. So if you feel so disposed, I can tell you how you can easily do it. Go to the website, higherhumanperformance.com. At the bottom of any podcast episode, you'll see some links. Part of those links are to subscribe. And if you haven't done that, well, man, please do that. But then there's a link, review on iTunes. Click that link, take you right there. Yeah, you'll have to be logged into your iTunes account, but I know it's a hassle, but I'd greatly appreciate it, so I'm asking. I hope you get some value out of this. If you want to know more about me professionally and all the stuff that I do, you can easily find that over at the website, higherhumanperformance.com. All kinds of social media icons as well. I'd love it if you connect with me at Twitter. It's at Randy Cantrell. All real easy. And that's it. That's episode 278. Improve your leadership by turning the knob. Well, or maybe I should have put a plural on that. Maybe I should have said turning the knobs, because we've all got a bunch of them. You can turn a knob with all kinds of issues. You could turn a knob on your own open-mindedness, on your own communication, any variety of things. It's all about higher human performance. That's why you're here. That's why I'm here. If I can be of service or help, please reach out to me, social media, or even use that contact form over at the website. Till next time, I'll see you, and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.